Boneboy Speaks episode 142, A Place for Your Stuff, online. I've been putting content on the internet for more than 20 years, and of course, in order to do that, you have to have a place for your stuff. Now, that place has evolved over the years. I'm still using shared web hosting, which I've used in various forms. And basically what that means is you've got one operating system, one instance of Apache, or name your favorite web server here, with it sliced and diced with a number of users, and it doesn't necessarily matter how many, it's just a lot. And the service provider, whoever it is, has to manage the resources of that entire machine and ensure that one user doesn't take all the resources for everybody else, which is what typically happens in a shared web hosting environment. And this has been the model for a rather long time now. The next step up from shared web hosting is usually what we call a virtual private server. For example, there's a lot of virtualization technologies that'll take a piece of hardware and slice it up into a number of different chunks that you allocate dedicated resources to a specific person. Now, that means that piece of hardware is running a number of different versions of the operating system, a number of different versions of Apache, and so on and so forth. So it's a little bit less efficient, but you can dedicate resources to a specific user. So I know that whatever resources I pay for, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get it. I'm not going to be competing with other users. Although, again, if they oversubscribe the hosting machines, you could still end up in a situation where you're contending for resources. You just can't see it as well as you can on a shared web host. You know, the next generation of that, of course, is things like Amazon S3 and OpenStack, where you can essentially create a bunch of different virtual machines, and you pay rather than pay per month or per certain resource, you know, per allocated resource usage like you do in a virtual private server. You pay for the actual CPU cycles and network bandwidth that you actually use, and that can get really pricey really fast if you're not careful about it. However, if your usage is very bursty, then it works really well. So, you know, and certainly large companies that are hosting services for lots of other people to use that go through periodic spikes in demand might use something like Amazon Web Services in order to ensure that their service remains available. But for a guy like me who's just hosting a website that doesn't generally get a lot of traffic, something like Amazon S3 is overkill. And then, of course, you have your typical, you know, just application service providers. You know, if you look at like WordPress.com, if you're just hosting a blog, or even Posthaven, which I put a number of my personal blogs on, for $5 a month, it's an application that does one function and does one function fairly well. It's less maintenance, less overhead, but there's less freedom there also. And I like the idea of it for sure. But that's, you know, usually you do a shared web host if you want to do something a little bit more complicated than that, or resource intensive, you go up to either a virtual private server or Amazon Web Services. But, you know, as you go up the chain, of course, all of these things, you get a little bit more power and you get a little bit more resources, but you also have more responsibility, right? On a shared web host, you just have to make sure that your WordPress is up to date or whatever application you're running. If you're on a shared web host, you also have to make sure your operating system and all of the components are up to date. And, you know, the Linux operating systems are pretty easy to keep up to date. You type in a couple of commands and everything just magically updates, and hopefully nothing breaks in the process. But it's definitely more stable than Windows in that regard. And then, of course, Amazon Web Services and that ilk is a whole other kettle of fish. And there, you're typically maintaining multiple instances, and you probably also have to manage how many resources you're using, because you are paying by the compute hour and paying by the bit of traffic. So even though the cost is small per hour or whatever, it all adds up. And so as you go up the value chain, you need to look at how much resources you're using, and you pay for it, but I think it's you know, so I'm now hitting the point now with PhoneBoy.com anyway, where I'm starting to sort of run up against the limits of what shared web hosting can handle, or maybe what Dreamhost can handle. So I'm looking at using a virtual private server, actually not on Dreamhost, because there are a number of cheaper alternatives that will accomplish the same thing. And also, it's kind of nice to be diversified and move things around, because as you're putting all the eggs in Google basket or whichever, you know, if that goes down, or you know, the Google Gestapo comes, then you know, you got, you know, then they've got all your stuff. So anyway, that's sort of an overview of the, you know, places to put your stuff on the internet, and you know, why you might choose one option or the other. And they all have different costs associated with them. Again, they go from you know, the cheapest being shared web hosting, and it's fairly well known. Although even, you know, there's cheap virtual private servers that are actually cheaper than shared web hosting if you do a little hunting. Again, depends on how busy your website gets and how much work you want to do. But again, it's all pros and cons and trade-offs of putting your stuff online. Thank you for listening to this episode of PhoneBoy Speaks. You can find all of the past episodes, all of the ways to subscribe to the podcast, and all of the ways to contact me on the web at phoneboyspeaks.phoneboy.com.